This message entitled, Will You Bet Your Life, was delivered to Christ Our Rock Bible Church on October 23rd, 2016 by the Reverend Roy D. Warren, Jr. The scripture reference is Ezekiel 2, 1-3.
All right. Praise the Lord. I've got a very, very short devotional to share by way of call to worship here this morning. But that's okay because Lily offered to help me with this. And she's got one, the one that she read when we were in our Sunday school time about persecution. So I'll read mine first, and then Lily, how about you reading yours? Okay? After me, you mean?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. This is from Richard Wurmbrand. He said, friendship with Jesus is costly. Faith alone saves, but saving faith is never alone. It is always accompanied by great sacrifices for Christ's sake. Amen? Praise God. The one that she has is about two young children in North Korea. Can you start there? All right. How about I read the first paragraph and then you read the rest of it like you did. Okay? Communists tell North Korean children that they will suffer a horrific fate if they are ever caught in China. But the children also know that if they are fortunate enough to escape, they should look for a building with the shape of a cross on it to find help. Two North Korean children who managed to arrive at a Chinese church relayed their stories to the pastor. And this is the story. Well, you want to share the scripture?
Yeah.
Okay. This is Acts 14, starting with verse 13.
When they saw courage of Peter and John, they were...
Astonished,
and they took note that these men had been with Jesus.
Mm-hmm. How about sharing the rest of it like you did earlier?
My name is Chang Lee. My sister and I watched our parents starve to death. We managed to walk across the Yalu River while it was still frozen. Once on the other side, my older sister said, you stay here. I have to go on a little farther by myself. She never returned. Chen is only 6. Hong Jun, an 11-year-old boy, said, I want to return to North Korea and tell the others about Christ. Then he cried as he sang, O Lord, give us the voice of the gospel for our brothers the Lord so loved before. Where all these gone, the Lord is looking upon them. O Lord, send us to them, to our beloved Korean brothers. O Lord, send us to them, to our beloved Korean brothers. Wherever they are, let them bloom as flowers. A few months later, Hong Jun was kidnapped from the village and forcibly returned to North Korea. Perhaps he is witnessing to his captors even now.
Perhaps. Amen? You got it. Thank you. Okay. Good reminder for everybody, isn't it? Huh? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Would you pray with me? Okay? Father, we want to thank you, Lord, dear God, that you are indeed over all things. Lord, you are all over this world, all at the same time.
You don't wait for some emergency call from somebody on some special phone or something and then rush on over to this country and rush on over to that country. No, Lord, you're everywhere. And I want to thank you for this, dear God. We can put our faith and trust in you, Lord. We can be filled, dear God, with your compassion, Lord, for others. And truly, dear God, be praying, Lord, as this International Day of Prayer for the persecuted church gets closer and closer and closer, that your church, Lord, would truly rise up and be focused and praying, dear God, on these situations. And we do pray, dear God, for your touch upon all, Lord, that experience these things. And I do pray, dear God, that you'll have your way in every way. Touch, dear God, this gathering today, Lord. I know we are low on numbers, dear God, here today with sickness and so forth, but I do pray, dear God, that you would have your way, Lord, in every heart. We thank you. We praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Okay, want to take your stuff with you? Okay. All right, praise the Lord. Our first scripture is taken from the Old Testament prophet Ezekiel. And Jim, could I ask you to share this one with everybody? Ezekiel chapter 2, all right? And Rich, if I could ask you to share the second one, I'll give you a heads up. It's from Ezekiel chapter 3, okay? I'll be more exact later. Ezekiel chapter 2, and this is verses 1 through 10. Now, there's much more to the story, obviously, but this will start us out. Ezekiel chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Praise God.
And he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me, and set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me. And he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this day. And for they are an impotent children and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God. And they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall know that there hath been a prophet among them. And thou, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their wards, though briars and thorns be with thee, and thou dost dwell among scorpions. Be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. And thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious. But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious, like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat that I give thee. And when I looked, behold, an hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of a book was therein. And he spread it open before me, and it was written within and without, and there was written there lamentations and mourning and woe.
Amen. Isn't that an amazing display of mercy? The whole house is rebellious, but thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. In other words, it's possible to not be. Amen? That's mercy. That's God's mercy. You don't have to be like the rebellious. Amen? Praise the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Now, if you're still in the book of Ezekiel, you're in a good place, because the next scripture reading is found in Ezekiel chapter 3. picks it up where the other one left off at verse 1, but we only need to hear 3 verses at this point. So this is Ezekiel chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Amen? Praise God.
And he said to me, Son of man, eat whatever you find here. Eat this scroll, and go, speak to the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he gave me this scroll to eat. And he said to me, Son of man, feed your belly with this scroll that I give you, and fill your mouth with it. Then I ate it, and it was in my mouth as sweet as honey.
Glory to God. Glory. Amen? Yes, glory. Hallelujah. Well, the scripture has already been read, but now it's a time to go ahead and dig into it and let the Lord reveal what he wants us to hear from these things. So let's go ahead and come before the Lord in prayer, and then we'll come into the Word of God. Praise the Lord. Father, I do want to thank you, dear God, that your mercy and grace has led us to this time and place. You, dear God, have called us, excuse me, Lord, to be truly faithful to you, truly, dear God, committed and surrendered and submitted, dear God. It is your spirit, Lord, that is truly calling us, Lord, into that closer place, Lord, where we do indeed, dear God, surrender all to you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. We want to thank you, Lord, for all of your mercy today. We want to thank you, Lord, for the call, dear God, to be a people gathered together today and to come into contact, Lord, with some things concerning the persecuted church and preparing our hearts, dear God, for the International Day of Prayer for the persecuted church coming up in a couple of weeks. And, Lord, it's all in your hands. Hallelujah, dear God. So I pray, Lord, be glorified, be exalted, be embraced, Lord, in this very day. Touch, dear God, everybody that sits in front of this pulpit, Lord, as well as the one who stands behind it. Because, dear God, it's got to be a spiritual touch. It's got to be a supernatural leading and guiding, dear God, in this hour. So we look, dear God, for you to be about that, Lord, this very day. Hallelujah. Lord, we pray this all in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. The title of the message today is, Will You Bet Your Life? Will you bet your life? You've heard people say, you can bet your life on it. You know, something like that. Well, they're not talking about gambling. They're not talking about, you know, going to some casino or something and laying down your life for a pot of money or a pot of gold or anything like that. I remember several years ago, there was one who used to be in this church, and she came to me probably a couple of different times and really had a problem with using the word bet for anything. You couldn't talk about anything that included the word bet. Just because it reminded her of the gambling and the casinos and all of that kind of stuff. And we all know, dear, that those things are not good, that they're bad. But that doesn't mean you can't use the word bet. And you'll see what I'm talking about as we proceed through this message today. Praise the Lord. Praise God. And quite frankly, that's why that particular person isn't around today. It's because she didn't want to totally surrender her heart and life to the leading of the Lord. Praise God. That's what we're called to do, though. That's what we're called to do. Hallelujah. You know, it was 66 years ago this month, October 1950, that the very popular radio show, You Bet Your Life, first aired on television. In the first part of the program, host Groucho Marx interviewed two contestants by asking questions about their lives. He managed to find a joke in about every answer that they gave, especially to trick questions such as, have you stopped beating your wife? Or do you remember the shtick he used to do? You know, he used to go back and forth across the stage and have his cigar and a big black mustache and so forth. And you know, he'd tell really corny jokes, you know, about, you know, I shot an elephant or killed an elephant in my pajamas, and how he ever got into my pajamas, I'll never know. You know, that kind of stuff. After the interviews came the quiz show portion. When contestants answered trivia questions, they could win extra money by saying the secret word, an ordinary word suspended above the stage on a duck. Now, I've seen reruns of this show through the years, so I know what this thing looked like. It was about as cornball as you could possibly get. So they had this fake duck suspended above the stage with this sign. It's just an ordinary word was attached to this duck. And the duck would then be dropped down when the word was spoken. The show was nominated for 5 Emmy Awards, if you can imagine that, but it never won. I can imagine that. Like I said, it was extremely corny. But you know, the fact is that many people are really betting their lives without realizing it. And I don't mean betting their lives on God, but betting their lives against God. Those who never give a thought to spiritual things are taking a chance that there is no God. A lot of people claim to know God. A lot of people claim to love God, but then do just the opposite of what He calls us to do, and they're betting their lives that they're going to get by with it. Some people are counting on a philosophy or a religion other than Christianity to make them right with God, and it's not going to work. They are betting that Jesus is not who He claimed to be or who even the Bible says He is. There are people today sitting in churches proclaiming one thing and doing another, claiming a following of God, that is, that they are following God, but not in reality. They are betting their lives that they will be okay in the end. But they're not doing it God's way. And so, you know it's not going to work out. It's a fool's hand. It's a fool's bet, as I suppose they would say, around the poker tables. It can't possibly pan out in their favor. Let me show you what I'm talking about. In the call of God towards the prophet Ezekiel. Okay, would you turn to Ezekiel, please, in the Old Testament, chapter 2, and I'll go, we already heard it, so I'll go very quickly through some of it. Just look at chapter 2, Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 1. And he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me, and set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me. And he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this very day. For they are impudent children and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God. And they, whether they will hear, or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall know that there hath been a prophet among them. And thou, son of man, be not afraid of them. Don't be afraid, neither be afraid of their words, though briars and thorns be with thee. And thou dost dwell among scorpions. Be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. And thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, either way, for they are most rebellious. But thou, son of man, now listen, thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat that I give thee. And when I looked, behold, a hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of a book was therein, a scroll. And he spread it before me, and it was written within and without, and there was written therein lamentations and mourning and woe. Of course, you remember what we talked about on Friday night in our Bible study, the five woes that are found in Habakkuk, chapter 2. Moreover, he said unto me, this is chapter 3, verse 1. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest. Eat this roll, and go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. It wasn't of his own strength or power. He simply opened his mouth. He simply put himself in a position to receive it. And God fed him the roll. God fed him the word of God. I'm telling you, this Ezekiel was in the process of betting his life on God. Praise the Lord. Look at verse 3. And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then I did eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. As honey for sweetness. Israel was claiming one thing and living another. They were claiming to be about the Lord, but they had incorporated so many other things into their religion and into their worship and their sacrifices that it was anything but serving the one true God. They were betting their lives that they were doing something that was going to get them through. They were betting their lives that they can get by with doing things their own way. Ezekiel, on the other hand, had the right attitude. He was willing to actually consume God's word. Literally. I mean, consume God's word, whether the people wanted to or not. Amen? Whether they would do it or whether they wouldn't. We don't have to gamble with our lives. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1 defines faith as evidence, as a confidence that we hope for what we hope for will indeed actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. Two of the Greek words that are found in this verse mean actual assurance and proof. Proof. Near the end of Paul's life, while he was imprisoned, he declared his unwavering trust to the God to whom he had entrusted his life. He knew his Savior. He knew him. So he knew his destiny was safe. Amen? He was betting his life on it. Faith in Christ is not a gamble. It's the only sure thing that there really is. Let me show you what I'm talking about right from the book of Acts. And if you'll remember, that's exactly what we've been looking at. Something from the Old Testament that finds a correlation in the book of Acts, which then speaks to us that this is directly focused on the church today. That the very thing that we're finding in Ezekiel, with Ezekiel being willing to bet his life on God and go all the way, even if they don't listen, he's still going to go ahead and stand for God. All right? Let me show you in the book of Acts. Turn over to Acts 24. Yeah, Acts 24. Yeah. Acts 24. Now, this has not been read yet, so I will be going through it not slowly, but quickly, and I think you'll still get the gist. Paul was willing to bet his life on who Jesus was and what he could do. Let me show you this. Acts chapter 24. Now, this is after the so-called trial before the Sanhedrin that Paul is now brought into another trial before Felix. And after 5 days, Ananias the high priest descended with the elders and with a certain orator named Tertullus, who informed the governor against Paul. So the governor, Felix, has already been told, you know, how bad Paul is. So Paul's kind of starting out behind the eight ball, so to speak. Okay? And when he was called forth, Tertullius began to accuse him, saying, seeing that by thee we enjoy great quietness. Now he's buttering up the governor, okay? And that very worthy deeds are done unto thy nation, unto this nation, by thy providence. We accept it always and in all places, most noble Felix. I mean, he's just laying it on, isn't he? With all thankfulness, he says, notwithstanding that I be not further tedious unto thee. You know, you can almost feel the butter knife going back and forth across the bread, right? I pray thee that thou wouldest hear us of thy clemency a few words. For we have found this man a pestilent fellow. A pestilent fellow. A plague. A malignancy. A mischievous person. A pest. Now, you know they didn't find that to be the case at all. Except if these other people are going to, and even these Jews, are going to, you know, want to get rid of Paul, they've got to lay it on heavy. They've got to. So they call him a pestilent fellow. Not only that, a mover of sedition, okay, to put into motion, to excite, to agitate, all right, among the Jews, throughout the world, and he's a ringleader. That's what it says in verse 5. He's a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes. A ringleader. The first to stand. And, of course, they're saying that he's really bad and he's wrong and all of that. But ringleader. Who also hath gone about to profane the temple, which is ridiculous, whom we took and would have judged according to our law. But the chief captain, Lysias, came upon us with great violence and took him away out of our hands. Now, that was a lie. That's a big, fat lie. That's not what happened at all. You'll remember from before, that's not what happened at all. It wasn't with great violence. He simply just scooped him up and tucked him away and tried to protect him. Commanding his accusers to come unto thee by exclaiming, or examining rather, of whom thyself mayest take knowledge of all these things whereof we accuse him. And the Jews also assented, saying that these things were so. Then Paul, after that the governor had beckoned unto him to speak, answered, now Paul gets a chance, for as much as I know that thou hast been of many years a judge unto this nation, I do the more cheerfully answer for myself. Because that thou mayest understand that there are yet but 12 days since I went to Jerusalem for to worship. And they neither found me in the temple disputing with any man. In other words, I didn't defame the temple. Neither raising up the people, I didn't cause any riots. Neither in the synagogue nor in the city. Neither can they prove the things whereof they now accuse me. But this I confess unto thee, that after the way, this is referring to Christianity, which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which were written in the law and in the prophets, and have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. And herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. Now after many years I came to bring alms to my nation and offerings, whereupon certain Jews from Asia found me purified in the temple, neither with multitude nor with tumult. Now, I didn't cause any trouble. Who ought to have been here before thee and object if they had aught against me. In other words, they should have come here themselves and presented this. Or else let these same hearsay it if they have found any evil doing in me while I stood before the council, except it be for this one voice that I cried, standing among them, touching the resurrection of the dead, I am called in question by you this day. And when Felix heard these things, having more perfect knowledge of that way, the way, of course, being Christianity. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. He deferred them and said, when Lysias, the chief captain, come down, or shall come down, I will know the uttermost of your matter. And he commanded a centurion to keep Paul and to let him have liberty, that they should forbid none of his acquaintance to minister or to come unto him. So he had a lot of freedoms and so forth. But after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned, listen, as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled. Felix trembled. He was, listen, the gospel to those who don't want the truth is going to make them shudder. I can remember talking to somebody one time, both Cindy and I were trying to get them to see the truth on something, and the guy was just shaking in his boots, because deep down inside he knew this was the word of God. He knew this was God's truth. And Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time." In other words, go ahead, go away. I'm trembling here. "When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." And praise God, what mercy, huh? Whenever he thought, well, listen, I'll listen to a little bit more of this, Paul. I'll listen to a little bit more of what he has to say. He called him out of prison. Oh, praise God. And so once again, many, many opportunities to share Jesus with these people. We talked about that last week as well. He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul. You know, greed, you know, he was looking for somewhat of a bribe, I suppose you could say, that he might lose him. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener. So even that, even his self-life would produce in him a desire to see Paul even more than he normally would. And once again, he's going to hear more of the gospel. Praise God. But after 2 years, it says in verse 27, Porcius Festus came into Felix's room. So now there's a new governor that's come into Felix's place. And Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. And once again, it was going to open it up for Paul to continue to give the truth. Praise God. It's a good thing this Paul was willing to bet his life that he was going to live fully and all the way to the end for Jesus Christ. Amen? Paul was willing to bet his life on who Jesus was and what he could do. Not on what Paul could do, but on what Jesus could do and would do. I'm telling you, it's right in the scroll. It's right in the Word of God, sweet as honey. It causes us to stick with it, doesn't it? I mean, think about it, doesn't it? And stick with them. Stick with brothers and sisters in affliction, in persecution, helping them, making life somewhat easier for them, encouraging them in the faith. Praise the name of Jesus. There's a little boy that was focused on a recent Voice of the Martyrs newsletter from September, actually. And here's the picture right here with these boots on his feet. They're not just regular boots. They were prosthetics that go onto his badly, badly injured feet. And you can see these boots are a mess. Well, this is immediately before he was presented with new ones. Okay, and here's a picture, much smaller, you can't see it, but now he's got the new boots on, and they're going to fit him with those boots until he's an adult. Praise God. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Jim Dow, the president of Voice of the Martyrs, wrote an article in that particular newsletter, and it's just a few paragraphs. I want to share it with you. I sat on the couch, this is him speaking now, this is Jim, the president. I sat on the couch and watched as my little brother in Christ, Wang Chua, was fitted with a new pair of special shoes. When we first met Wang several years ago and saw his badly mutilated feet, a Voice of the Martyrs prosthetics team decided to design custom shoes for him that could expand as his feet grow, had Velcro straps around it. As you can see on the cover, his shoes were well used. That's what I was just mentioning to you, that they looked about shot. On this visit, we were providing him with a new pair of the custom-made shoes. Now, how did it all happen? Well, when he was 3 weeks old, just a little infant, radical Muslims attacked his predominantly Christian village, killing his parents, killing his brothers and sisters, and killing other family members as well. Before he could be rescued from his burning house, his feet were permanently mutilated by the flames. And this is all because the Muslims hate Jesus. As our prosthetics team continued to work with Wang, he peered nervously at me. I understood that my presence as a stranger and a foreigner was probably the cause of his anxiety, but when they finished, Wang made his way over to me. He reached out his hand to touch my shirt and then giggled and scurried around the corner. He wanted to play tag. Praise God. Amen? He wanted to play tag. Jim says, I had so much joy in my heart. This boy has been through so much, but his life is somewhat back to normal because of the caring people around him and because of your support. Voice of the Martyrs, of course, goes ahead and actually presents him with the shoes and makes the shoes and all of that. But the offerings that we take up and we will be taking up on the first Sunday of November, the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church, helps to provide for those kinds of things. Wang even climbed up on a couch with me and then jumped off. His feet might be disfigured, but this little boy is determined to play just like his friends do. Reminds me of the day that Andrew came back from the hospital, the very day from his hernia surgery, climbed up on a kitchen chair and was jumping all over the place. I'll tell you what, when I had my hernia surgery, I wasn't climbing up on chairs and jumping all over the place. Well, this little boy is now 6 years old, and we are committed to walking with him every step of the way as he grows into adulthood. When God brings a persecuted family member into our lives, we commit to helping them through their physical and spiritual recovery as long as the need is there. Each situation is unique, and when we provide assistance, we prayerfully commit to standing with the persecuted believers in their sufferings. Praise God. Will you bet your life that Jesus can make a difference, not only in your heart and life, but in others' hearts and lives? So let him begin right here. Amen? Let him begin right here in you, in your heart, and in your life, and in mine too. Praise the name of Jesus. Will you bet your life on that? Praise God. Father, I do want to thank you, Lord, that you have given, dear God, of your own heart, Lord, this very day. You have presented, dear God, what I believe is certainly a true word. And we saw it both in the Old Testament, in the book of Ezekiel, as Ezekiel bet his life on the things of God, and the same thing in the book of Acts as Paul bet his life on the things of the Lord. So we want to thank you, and we pray, dear God, that we'll also enter into that. And come away, dear God, from all of the pettiness and all of the places, dear God, where we demand our own way on things, dear God, and just do what you say. Lord, if you say something in your word, that's it. We don't need to try to justify something else. We don't need to come up with a reason or an excuse why we're doing something different. No, we do it your way, and you will provide. So we just want to thank you, Lord, that you are so worthy to be praised. Hallelujah, dear God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise God.